Well, the question came to me was, can an insurance company come and present if they want, if the board wanted to? I said, yes, they can present. But if we're going to open our insurance up to a new provider, then it has to be competitive bidding. We need to get bid specs on what our policy currently provides so that we're getting apples-to-apples comparison. And so, no, we're not going to pull the carpet out from under the bed. They probably weren't notified about this, but it's a public meeting. Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess for some reason, there's only a person that was an agent of record. He doesn't have an agent of record.
Well, just here, there was a... I don't know if that covered the health. I'm trying to remember what that was about that we didn't. Well, I'm confident that we have the ability, because our that only gives us a year contract. They're able to give us a 1 year contract, so I'm confident we have the ability to bid that out if we want to, but we have to give them a fair chance to bid it. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not really open to being given presentations. You know, we see it all the time. I filled out this agenda form. I said, why are you doing everybody come up here trying to sell you insurance? You know, every meeting wants to do a good deal of sales for insurance. And so I said, cut down on it considerably. We did this agenda.
Well, the agent director there basically forces him to be the conduit for the insurance companies to have to go through. They're wanting to come before us.
And we'd always say, damn, but I mean, I'd have to revisit that, Roger. I don't know off the top of my head.
Well, you spoke to him. Every month, somebody's going to be up here with all the comedy shows and want to sell them a shirt.
Well, I agree. That's why I don't think it needs to be approved. I didn't have any say in whether it got approved. My understanding is that she put it out, at least to the commission, and say, you want to. It was actually brought to me. It was already done. I said, can we have a private meeting with the insurance company, a new insurance company? I said, no, you can't have a private meeting. That doesn't qualify it. The closed hearing, the open door law, doesn't qualify as an executive session. So it has to be public. That was really what I thought. Okay, I said, well, it has to be public. They said, okay, well, can they present the public meeting? I said, yeah. But don't be signing any contracts. Because you've got to bid this out. To be fair, you can't, and I don't think it's advisable, but good, it's just a good business strategy to take the company that you've been working with and pull the carpet out from under them, unless they were doing something really egregious, which, to my knowledge, we're fairly happy with our insurance company other than the cost of government. They all do.
So, here's the charity myself.
Somebody's going to just say, all right, these people are sorry. Talk about how much money they can save. I'm guessing that this insurance company can sell them all my insurance. But at least if you get all the insurance companies, the whole summer, and now that you might have
the call of commissioner, portion of the order. For anybody to be in.
We'll call the council portion of the meeting to order.
Do we have a meeting without a quorum?
Not a very effective one.
I think so.
You could add one.
Okay. I still want to get in trouble with the law.
You're fine to have one.
All right. Bill, sure, go ahead. I'll just start. I'm Bill Sylvester. And that's Eric Dreyfuss, and we're with Apex Benefits. Apex Benefits is an employer health insurance broker, consultant, out of Indianapolis. And we were asked to come here today. Actually, we probably begged to come here to speak today. On behalf of, we met before the primary election. Okay, we met before the primary with Larry, Sheila, and Michelle, who does your benefits, correct? And before the primary becomes important, because some of the people we met with are no longer going to be in office come January. And we talked a lot about that. And we talked about Larry almost tearfully said, you know, that it's important that the county government has a consensus on something like this. Eric and I have been in a lot of different, we'll get to that later, but we've been in a lot of different situations where different factions of county government don't get along. They can't agree on this. The council cuts the budget. The commissioners don't want to deal with the cut budget. The auditor's office doesn't want to comply with any of it. So we've seen a lot of situations, and I think for this to work, it's helpful when there is a consensus. And we're all not going to agree on who the best broker is, who the broker should be, but we're all going to have a pretty good idea after tonight what services you've gotten, right? What services are available, and what is the financial impact of these decisions that you make, and what should the long-term and short-term strategy be as far as employee health benefits, okay? With that, next page. Sorry. So, if there are any questions, if you have any questions, and you're going to have questions and comments, if there are any questions, please don't hesitate to bring them up. Apex, like I said, we are an employee benefit specialist. We don't do auto. We don't do homeowners, we don't do PNC. The only thing we do are health and wellness benefits, health insurance. Okay? We have 50 employees in our office in Indianapolis. 5 of them are in business development, and 45 of them serve our clients in a variety of different areas. We have about 8 to 10 different disciplines, including healthcare reform practice. We have a human resources consulting practice. We have marketing analysts, data analytics. We have, what else is on the list there? We have a variety of different disciplines, a variety of different experts in those disciplines. This is all we do, okay? We have, and how we came here is we are endorsed by the Association of Indiana Counties. And in fact, insured the Association of Indiana Counties. We have 15 of the 92 Indiana counties as clients. In your neighborhood here, we have Newton, White, Benton, Carroll, Miami, and Cass counties. So south of here, away from the region, but south of here, you can't go south without hitting one of the counties where we are consultants. Okay?
Okay, Bill, I just want to stop. Going back to, I don't want to belabor the point, but I want to highlight the fact that, you know, Apex was built primarily to be an extension of employers when it comes to HR functions. And with us working with a lot of these counties and talking to all 92 counties in the state of Indiana, very few of them have an actual HR director or department. So it's even more critical to have the expertise of a firm to help support the county, because the auditor or the benefit administrative person they wear many hats than just benefits. So what we try to do is take as much off their plate in that one sliver that is benefits, and they can focus on other aspects of their day-to-day job. Hence why that continuum of services is very critical for county government.
Eric and I and Sean Schweigman, who is not here, obviously, we are part of a public sector group. Pretty much what we do, we concentrate on public sector business. So we have universities, we have schools, we have counties, we have cities. One of the groups we just took over, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Indianapolis Library. So we do deal a lot with the public sector. Next page. And what we do, we put together, when we have a client, we put together a team of experts, whether it is healthcare reform, whether it is an account executive that is a day-to-day contact for your auditor, your payroll people, your benefits admin people. We have two or three different daily contacts for that. We have five different wellness people in our office to advise you in those type of capacities. We have data analytics people that deal with numbers all the time, and we're going to get to some numbers. I think they're going to stagger you, but it's not a one-stop shop. We have a lot of people, and those people talk to other people in the industry to come up with ideas, which is what we're going to talk about next. One of the things that we look at when we talk to your team that we met with was reinsurance. Eric, you want to cover?
Yeah, so reinsurance, for lack of a better word, is catastrophic coverage for an employer in case somebody or someone has something critically go wrong and they're in a hospital for a long period of time, they've incurred a lot of charges, okay? What an employer does is they try to mitigate that risk that they might have per individual. And in talking to Commissioner Brady and Sheila, so we understood in talking to them that the way the county's reinsurance contract is set up right now, there is not a mechanism that we have on that first bullet called specific advanced funding. And let me kind of explain how that works. The next slide goes into great detail about it, but I don't want to read verbatim from it. Let's just use simple numbers. Let's say the county's individual reinsurance level is at $100,000 per year. That means if anybody on the plan would incur more than $100,000 in claims, those dollars above $100,000 would be reimbursed back to the county. Okay? In concert, what the county's doing is they're paying that insurance company premium for that risk that they're potentially taking on. What's going on with the county, and in talking at our meeting a couple weeks back, was the county was incurring some significant large claims on the plan where they had to pay the full freight up front and wait several weeks and months before they got refunded for those dollars that exceeded that reinsurance level. What we're doing in this specific advanced funding is that would never occur with our clients, particularly county government. What would happen in this instance is that, let's say I was admitted into the hospital, I had a horrible car accident, and I was in hospital for 3 weeks, and the total charges or claims were $500,000, okay? And I'm a county employee. Instead of the county having to pay $500,000 out of their bank account and wait for that $400,000 to come back from the reinsurer, there would not be a dollar over $100,000 that would have to be paid up front by the county. The reinsurer, the administrator, in this case Cigna, would go to the reinsurer and get that remaining $400,000 immediately. Hence why the term advanced funding. The county would not have to float that kind of money and wait several weeks or in some cases months before they actually got that refund back. And that's a pretty standard thing. We were actually Bill and I were kind of surprised that that is actually still going on because none of our contracts today, of all our self-funded clients, we have hundreds of them, don't have the specific advanced funding mechanism.
Let's back up a little bit. How many people know the difference between fully insured, self-funded, partially self-funded? Is there anybody that doesn't know that in a nutshell? You all know you're self-funded, right? You are the insurance company. Your responsibility as the insurance company is to set the thing up, set up your plan design, set up your stop loss, figure out what your stop loss, where your stop loss should be, what level should your reinsurance be at, correct? So we're all on top of this. You're also aware that you set up your plan design any way you see fit. So you're aware you're the insurance company, and part of this is there's different types of reinsurance. The spec advance should be included in that so that you're not floating that money to whoever, and that when you pay up to that spec, you shouldn't have to pay anymore and wait to get that money back. Sometimes 6 months later, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge cash flow. Obviously, the more catastrophic the claim, the bigger. In all honesty, what goes on, why that's critical is that hospitals, because of it being a huge expenditure and the reinsured, they want to go through all steps and do a forensic audit of every claim or every chart to make sure they are, quote unquote, legitimate. So that takes a long period of time for that to occur. That's why it's critical to have that spec advance where those dollars aren't being paid up front by the county government. It's paid by the reinsurer and let them deal with it on the back end.
So you might, any questions about that? You may go ahead and go to the second one because we just kind of covered spec advance. And so in here we put the definition of what spec advance was, what an example of that was. What it means with spec advance, without spec advance.
Yeah, I kind of highlighted that. Like I said, I want to read that verbatim. That gives you at least something you can look back on and see what exactly we were meaning by that advanced funding mechanism.
Yes. Is the county self-funded discounted?
Yes.
County is self-funded.
Okay.
So when you say the county is self-funded, and that means growth. The county self-funded, at some point they buy reinsurance or stop loss to cap their loss, and anything over that for an individual or for the group in general is paid for by that reinsurance.
Okay.
Reinsurance is a lot less expensive than insurance.
Sheila actually brought up a good point.
Yes.
You mentioned earlier, you mentioned partially self-funded and self-funded. Partially self-funded is what the county here is doing. Okay. When we talk, when you hear self-funded, we're talking big national jumbo employers where they don't have any reinsurance. They have such a large risk pool that they don't need to have catastrophic coverage, because if they have $1 million claim, it's nothing to them because they might have a $200-300 million healthcare spend. Okay? So that's the difference between like a Target or a Walmart or a General Electric. Those types of companies would not have reinsurance. It's more what we call a middle market employer like the county governments that have reinsurance. So that means
they're partially self-funded.
Yes, yes, you are partially. That's why I wanted to correct you, because Sheila asked if there's a difference, and that is the difference.
In our world, self-funded and partially self-funded are the same thing. When we asked Sheila, she said they were partially self-funded, which
correct.
Now we know you have stop loss. So the second thing is plan design, and to go to the next current contribution strategy. In our conversation, we found some very interesting things. And I want to say, keep in mind that we're not looking to offer less benefits to employees. We're not looking to take money away from employees. What we're here to do is show you that there's a lot of options, a lot of opportunities, a lot of different strategies that you probably haven't even looked at. As a matter of fact, I'm sure you haven't even looked at, that need to be brought to the table, that aren't being brought to the table, that need your approval or disapproval. It's up to you, but you need to be aware that these are ideas and things that you can do. We know that you did some things, you know, kind of step after step. You did some things and gave your employees the employees have really, really good benefits that people don't want it taken away. But there are other ways of doing things, and Eric's going to talk a little bit about what we found.
Yeah, so this slide is based on the information that Sheila was able to provide us of what the current landscape or state of the county is right now. In the current year, it looks like the county's at in total about $1.8 million spend. That's employee and county costs combined, okay? Of that almost $1.8 million, the county's paying about over 92% of the costs, while the employees are paying about 7.6%. And just simple math, I mean, one of the things that stood out is that, you know, one of the plans that the county's offering is a health savings account plan, or an HSA account. And we're seeing that. I have counties, I have private employers that have HSAs. But here's one thing that was kind of glaring. And I don't know, again, we're putting this out there because I don't know if anybody in this room is aware of it, but the way the contributions are set up right now, and what the employees are charged in relation to the money that's provided to an employee that is on this plan, that's a county employee, a single employee on the HSA is basically getting free health care. And what I mean by that is that they're currently contributing about $100 a month out of their paycheck to be in that HSA plan, but the county every month is putting $100 into a health savings account. That's their account. It's their dollars. The second that money is put in there, it's like my checking account or my savings account. That's my money. So the net effect there is really only a little under $4 a month. And, you know, I've been doing this 23 years, and I can probably count on my two hands the amount of employers, public or private, especially in 2016, that charge virtually nothing for health insurance. And you saw earlier, we have plenty of counties. I work with Monroe, Delaware. They have very good benefits, just like this county government. But that is an outstanding deal. The fact that really you're taking away $104 and you're getting $100 a month. And I know it's a little bit higher for the other tiers, but we want to just kind of simplify things and looking at just a single employee. Really, to boot, at the bottom, the last bullet is even more eye-opening is that if you are on the medical plan, you have dental and vision coverage that's looped into that contribution. So you're literally getting dental and vision thrown in when you elect the medical plan here in the county. I've not seen with any of my counties where they lump the dental and vision. In some cases, it's fully contributory by the employee, where it's voluntary. If you want dental, you're paying 100% of that premium, or whatever the cost of the premium equivalence is. Here, the county's actually giving you the dental and vision, and it's kind of combining benefit between the medical, dental, and vision. So, like Bill said, these are great benefits, but there's a cost for that. And from what we heard from Commissioner Brady and Sheila, these costs continue to increase, and it's becoming unsustainable. It's going to be unsustainable at some point. It might be now, but in the near future, as costs continue to rise, this is going to be unsustainable, and some sort of measures are going to have to be made to kind of, unless we do something now, to kind of shift the cost back to the employees potentially.
Let's go back up to the top. Okay, the first line there, $17,800 per employee is what the county, the cost of health care is here. Okay, that's a lot. I'm not going to get into what's called a Cadillac tax, but it's very much a Cadillac plan. I don't want to get into Cadillac tax. You're aware of it. Some people may or may not be. It may not come into effect ever. So I don't really. We decided not going about. We talked about not talking about the Cadillac tax. However, basically, what the government is doing. Talking about government, right? What they're doing is they potentially could tax expensive plans. And the point is $17,800 is way more than the median plan in our country, even in for counties. It's a very expensive plan. Probably I would say a more appropriate place to be is $14,000, $13,000, $12,000 per individual is probably where you should be. You're paying a lot more than you should for health care.
If any of you have investigated, and maybe not because I did the health insurance with the county's great, but on the public exchange, the government identifies plans into four categories: platinum, gold, silver, bronze. If I were to take the plan from a cost standpoint and from a benefit standpoint, for the county, it would probably be between gold and platinum. That's how strong of a benefit plan the county is offering the employees, not only from a cost standpoint, but also from a plan value standpoint.
So then the other thing, is everybody familiar with what an HSA plan is? Do you know what an HSA plan is versus a PPO? Anybody that doesn't? PPO, you're going with co-pays to the doctor's office, right? You have co-pays for your prescriptions. The philosophy behind an HSA is the first dollars, and in your case, $2,500, are on the employee, all right? Why is that? Because people that are spending their own money, the first $2,500, it's theirs. they're a little more frugal and a little smarter on how they shop prices, you know, quality of doctor's goods. They shop prescriptions. What's the best place to buy it? But if you're paying $5, whether the county's paying this or the county's paying that, if you're paying your copay, whatever that may be, you don't really care what the cost to that is. So an HSA is put into place to have you be a little bit more accountable as to how you're using your benefits. So what your county has done, what you guys have done is said, we're taking that philosophy out of it. We're just going to give you $100 a month. So the first $1,200, it's a family, $2,400, and you take the philosophy behind that away. And you're giving people money whether they use it or whether they don't use it. It's just cash that's gone. And the next slide is going to get into one of the options, one of the things you can do to mitigate that. Eric?
So, again, just one of the ideas from we mentioned cash flow earlier with reinsurance, and I think one of the critical things about what we're showing on this slide is ways for the county to kind of keep solid cash flow, and that is, without changing the plan much. And to kind of counter what the health savings account is, it's kind of, when it was put into place, something called a health reimbursement account was put into place for employers, which was kind of a baby step to HSAs or health savings accounts. And let me just kind of explain the pros and cons of the HRA if in fact the county considered replacing the HSA with an HRA. For one is, from an employer standpoint, instead of that money going into an individual's own account, those dollars would be accessible for the employee or their dependent, but it would be housed by the county. And why that's important is because of a couple things. One, believe it or not, not everybody that's on a county plan is going to exhaust $1,200 or $2,400 in expenses every year, right? So a way for an employee to still have access to that money, but it not be their own, is to have an HRA where the plan looks just like you have today with the HSA, except instead of those $100 or $200 per month going into an individual's HSA account, those monies are, if you have expenses, you would get reimbursed just like if it was your money. In this instance, what it happened, what it does is it allows the county to still offer the same benefit to the county employee, but from a cash flow standpoint, instead of having to spend $140,000 in change for those people that are in the HSA on an annual basis, let's say they're only using 50% of it. Well, simple math, there's $40,000 of cash flow that the county can still line item and allocate, but they're keeping the money. As opposed to having to funnel that entire amount and the money is gone, they can say, okay, well, only 70 of the 140 was used. We're still going to keep the 70 there in case it's used next year, but we can still utilize that money and put it towards other things that the county may need from a budget standpoint.
With the HSA, that money's gone.
Right.
Single guy working in the highway department, working on the sheriff. Oops, not going to talk bad about sheriff. guy working in the highway department, 24 years old. Think he's going to the doctor at all? Probably not. It's costing $3 a month, right, to be on the HSA plan, and the county's giving him $100 a month, $1,200 a year. That's just sitting there. At the end of the year, that money used for health care is sitting there for him. At the end of 2 years, he's still paying $3 a month for health care. At the end of that second year, he's got $2,400 in the bank. So, in essence, we are saying an idea. It's not something you have to do, but you can house that here. He uses the benefit, or he loses the benefit. But we're not paying, we're not subsidizing his income and charging him $3 a month for insurance. Again, just an idea that should be discussed as opposed to accepted.
Fair question.
Yeah, sure.
The county takes this $70,000 they didn't use to do something else. Do they put it back in?
The county. Well, that would be the... But logistically, I would think that would still have to be accrued and accounted for, but you know, those dollars, if they're not being used...
can be invested.
Yeah, it can be invested back. I mean, it could be used in numerous ways.
Yeah, I can see the county using this money 3 years in a row, and all of a sudden they've got a catastrophe where they need a lot of money, and it's gone.
Well, Carol, what I think the council would do is be prudent on how they spend that money. I would think they would consider putting that money into bonds, so it's there for accruing it. Some interest, not much, but something. But for that rainy day event that may come down the line, to go out and buy a vehicle with that money, I would hope they would not allow that to go on. Allow the money to stay here, have the numbers look better overall. Sir,
let's say this:
$150,000.
Okay, and I think Monroe County, when they moved to this, they probably used out of that HRA fund 55%, right?
Yeah, I'm going to say they started lower. They got to about a 55% level currently, but they started probably 25, 30, 35% usage.
$125,000 is what goes into this fund, okay? Let's say you use $55,000 of it and you have the rest to do whatever you want with it. Whether it's give employees raises, whether it's bond, put it invested, whether it's spend it on something else you need it, but over time, you know, the rest of that money, over that 55 that they're using, can be used for something else. Instead of going to subsidize people that aren't using insurance.
And another thing it's not up here, but one advantage of the HRA is that co-pays are back in play. Like an HSA, like Bill said, where other than preventive care, everything is first dollar deductible and co-insurance up to your out-of-pocket maximum. If you wanted to back down on those benefits a little bit and go, you know what, let's look. You know, people are taking really expensive medications and they want to take the HSA, but it's a huge freight to pay. You have the ability of doing the HRA and going and line iteming certain aspects of the plan and going back to a co-pay environment if you so choose to do that. You have a lot more flexibility in how you design the plan than the HSA, where the government very much restricts you to it being first dollar employee money all the way up to the out-of-pocket, their deductible level. So,
again, just one idea that should be discussed. Next slide. So another thing that it probably goes more to service, more to service than saving money. But and it goes to efficiency. So let's take something as simple as open enrollment and the open enrollment meetings, and the administration of your benefits. Okay, right now, who does your open enrollment? Who puts those together?
Michelle.
So Michelle does. Okay. When it's Apex, we do your open enrollment meetings. So you have somebody that knows your plan design, that knows the ins and outs of your design, that does this, that explains it, that answers questions, that offers advice. And like I said, we don't care which plan you pick, but we do the open enrollment meetings. Okay? The other thing we have, we're a preferred partner of Maxwell Health. We have an online benefits platform, a benefit enrollment platform. So rather than doing everything by paper, again, I realize some people that's the easiest way to do it, right? And the best way to do it, but for people that are technologically savvy, we can enroll your benefits, whether it's medical through dental, vision, and everything, online, okay? And you can do it at your leisure online. The other advantage of this is there's a mobile app, okay? The mobile app, instead of carrying your insurance card around, on your mobile app with Maxwell Health, you have your ID cards, medical, dental, vision, whatever. So you do. Most people carry their phone around, may not carry their ID, you know, their cards, and so on and so forth. You have an explanation of your benefits when they go to charge you more than you think they should charge you, so on and so forth. So a lot of different time-saving, benefit-enhancing benefits when it's Apex.
It just streamlines the process. Everybody knows how clunky insurance can be, especially if you don't understand it as well. But that's where we, with Maxwell, would support Michelle and Sheila in making sure that this is streamlined and efficient. And it may not be a savings in dollars, per se, as far as what we've talked about earlier, but it might save time and things be more efficient around the clock, especially with open enrollment time, with Michelle and Sheila, with us handling all the open enrollment meetings and all the forms and all the communication. We can handle that on behalf of the county.
Questions? Next slide. Pharmacy. The pharmacy carve-out. So, Larry talked about this, but the way you're set up now, there's nothing wrong with Cigna, but you have Cigna as your network, right? Cigna is also the one that administers and pays the bills. Your TPA is through Cigna. So your network and the bill payer is Cigna, and then the group that handles your prescriptions and how those are paid and how those are charged is also Cigna. So one of the things that we have done, and it's not always the best case scenario, but a lot of times it is. If you can carve this out, it's extremely beneficial.
Yeah. So you've probably seen and read a lot of consolidation that's going on in the health insurance world, especially with the big commercial payers. You know, you hear about Blue Cross Blue Shield, Anthem, and United, and Cigna being bought by Anthem, which is kind of on hold. But on the pharmacy side, we're seeing even a bigger consolidation, and I'll give you a perfect example. So Bill mentioned Cigna Healthcare. That's who your current administrator is, okay? A few years back, they had a partnership with a PBM or a pharmacy benefit manager called Catamaran. And they had a 10-year deal with them. Well, 2 years later, Catamaran got bought by Optum, which is another PBM that happens to be owned by United Health Group, which is United Healthcare. So now you've gone from Cigna, Catamaran, Optum, United Healthcare. They're basically one big happy family now. And so what happens with that is they become this gorilla, this 60,000-pound gorilla in the market, and they become ever increasingly more expensive because they are the big gorilla in the state as far as membership and access to their contracts. What we're able to do in some instances is carve out to, don't think this the wrong way, as kind of a second or third tier. What I mean by second or third tier, I'm not talking about by service or by pricing. I'm talking about size, okay? It's not, biggest isn't always the best. Express Scripts, CVS Caremark, all these stuff, Walgreens, they all sound familiar. They all have big research and development and branding. Well, there's a cost for that. And what we do is we have access to the same types of pharmacies that you would have through them, but at much lower cost through a pharmacy carve-out. And, you know, there's some advantage to that. I know, Bill, if you wanted to go through.
Well, just the value of it is, right now, it's Cigna, it's their bill payer, and it's their PBM, their prescription manager. You don't know where the money is. You don't know what you're paying for. You don't know what margins are built in there, but believe me, there are. If you carve out the prescriptions, you have the ability to see exactly what you're paying for, exactly who's getting paid in the form of rebates, in the form of whatever. You can see that. So transparency is power. Transparency, sheds a light on what's going on. And in a way, so one of the things Eric is really good at, we have the ability to get claims information from prospects or from clients. We plug these in to a variety of different, so based on the prescriptions that you're using, whether it's maintenance meds, whether it's whatever,
specialty drugs,
and we can price out what's the best PBM to use, what is the most efficient for the drugs that you're on, and determine ahead of time what the savings could be.
So the big deal, I mentioned earlier, there's such a consolidation right now, you don't have the advantage of carving out and letting the market compete for your business. Right now, it's basically Cigna. You're stuck with Cigna or Catamaran. Here, we can carve that out, and we can go to a number of different markets and let the marketplace compete for your business, as opposed to just having to live with one PBM option through Cigna. And I'm not picking on Cigna, but Anthem's the same way, and United Healthcare's the same way. The big conglomerates work the same way. They have relationships with one and only one PBM, and that's who you've got to deal with, unless you're you know, a Best Buy or something, and you're 50,000 employees, and you have that kind of leverage, you're not going to be able to carve it out unless you work with somebody like Apex to be able to do that and go to these markets and let them compete for your business.
I have a question.
Yep.
On this carve-out for the pharmacy, are we doing that county-wide, or are we doing it for Larry Brady and his specific scenarios?
County-wide.
Okay.
Yeah.
County-wide.
Yeah, the contract is for every member that's on the health plan.
So, especially drugs nowadays, I mean, it's different than it was 20 years ago. 20 years, maybe different than 10 years ago. You go to the hospital, you get a procedure done. They are fixing you with more and more time, more often than not, prescription drugs rather than
the procedures.
Right, exactly. So, 12, 15, 18% a year, the cost of the prescriptions become a bigger part of the pie, a bigger part of what your expenses are. So, anyway, on to the next thing. Another thing that we offer that helps in the way of prescription drugs is telemedicine, which is getting big now. Okay, we partner with 1-800-MD. And basically here's the value of this. For minimal dollars, the value of this is, you're sick. It's one of these things that you get all the time. It's either arthritis, it's a cold flu, it's an insect bite. It's something that you know what it is, but yet you're going to have to take time out to go to the doctor, right? You know what it is, you got to go there to get the medicine. So what we incorporate is 1-800-MD. You call a board-certified physician on the phone. You say, my daughter Sally, she's got her fourth ear infection in 5 months. I need antibiotics. I need something. Rather than taking a day off work, rather than pulling Sally out of school, the doc asks you a few questions, and you get your prescription filled without having to go to the doctor. Very efficient, very inexpensive,
yes.
Very useful. The
cost varies by what you can charge a copay to the member, and then the cost of the county would be less. Or on the flip side, if you charge no copay, it's a very small. We're talking $2-3 per employee per month for this type of service.
And again, the point is, these are ideas. These are not things you have to do or that we're advocating. We are trying to bring ideas to the table for you to choose whether or not these are good for you or not.
Doctors are prescribing medication without seeing patients?
Correct.
Yeah. It was just approved. It's
good for
state by state.
That's crazy.
But if you go back to that slide, it's very routine, rudimentary stuff. It's nothing that, there's no narcotics involved. There's nothing like that. It's strictly common conditions that really, other than an antibiotic or heavy strength ibuprofen or something, they're not going to be able to have to do too much.
Bottom line there, no prescribing of DEA controlled substances, yeah. Medication for psychiatric illness or lifestyle drugs. I can read the last line, but
does that have to be used in conjunction with the HRA, or can this be piece of something else?
These are all separate little lines.
Correct.
No. You can be fully insured and use this. Next. Okay, another thing that we do is called RX Health Centers. Okay? We talked about those specialty drugs and those expensive drugs that are on the rise, right? So with this plan, the people that are on some kind of specialty drugs are who you pay for this. Okay? So and what the Eric, you're better.
Yeah. So here's what we do. When we start to engage with a county government or an employer, we'll get the drug data from some Cigna, and we'll run the numbers. And like Bill said, only certain medications or certain expensive brand name or specialty drugs would basically be eligible for this program. But what it is, it's an advocacy program for a member to reach out to somebody on the other end of the phone that's a trained professional that'll ask a number of questions. They're not a physician, but what they'll do is they can actually find a medication that suits their disease state and either can substantially reduce the cost from the out-of-pocket standpoint from the employee and the employer, or in some cases, it's free. There's a couple things that are, these are kind of the hidden secrets of what's going on in the industry, but one way an advocate can get that done is either through a going directly to the pharmaceutical company and getting a rebate off that. But then, believe it or not, there are these huge endowments and foundations that multi-millionaires and billionaires use as a tax write-off. They gotta invest, they gotta use as a tax write-off, they gotta donate money. They donate the money into these foundations for this various thing. This was a product that started on the individual side about 4 years ago. They saw so much success on the individual side, they're offering it in the group employer world. This is only a program that's been out there for employers like county government for a little over a year. One example, I don't know if you want to talk about what
Miami County. Okay, so Miami County did this less than a year ago. So less than a year ago, of their, what do they have, 160 employees. Only 10 people are on this plan. It cost the county $6,000. Okay?
A year.
So, a year. So we ran the numbers, cost them $6,000. The savings between the county and the employees, $75,000 a year. So between the two of them, it's $75,000 that they've saved through a $6,000 investment. It's worth looking at.
We've seen ROI on this all over the place, but everywhere we've put this in play, both public and private, we've seen ROI. I mean, one of my clients, I saw a 24-to-1 ROI. I've seen, you know, if RX Health Centers were here, they'd say the average is probably between 12 to 14%, or 12 or 14 to 1 ROI.
These advocates, they actually research, and some of the research that I've done, they research what the medicines are and where they can get it. And a lot of people, instead of spending ungodly amounts of money, get the medicine free. So it can become free or greatly reduced. Winding up here in the next thing. So we have our own in-house ACA and compliance department. Okay, one of the tools that we have is something you use. You have a compliance dashboard. Michelle talked about the compliance dashboard. It can be a pain in the rear because basically what it does, it, for all things compliance, all the things you have to report to the federal government, the DOL, the IRS,
disclosures
to employees, to plan members, whether or not the notice of the exchange, all of these things that county government has to do throughout the year, it tells you what you have to do, when you have to do it by, when you've done it, you can tick it off, and it leaves an audit trail. It can be cumbersome. It can be overwhelming. So what we do differently than what you're doing now, I know this because Michelle told me, we're not getting this. We have dedicated in-house expert that deals with this on a daily basis. We offer periodic training. If I were to say it's quarterly, it may be monthly now. I don't know. It's going to kind of go back and forth. We have a help answer line. When you have a question, Michelle has a question, whoever, Father has a question, what do I do with this? It says to do this. Okay, here's what you do. Okay. One-on-one training. Tony Stinson from our office will come up to you and come up here and show you how to do it, how it works, what you need to do, one-on-one training. So, point is, you have this tool. We can make this tool better. We can give you better service with the tools that you're already using.
This doesn't sound like a big deal, but when push comes to shove, and I know everybody's a little bit skeptical about where American healthcare is going to go, depending on what happens this November, the thing I don't think will go away is the crackdown that the Department of Labor and the IRS is going to have on reviewing these types of compliance things, because the penalties can be substantial, and everybody's in the same boat. You're not exempt because you're a county government. It's both public and private sector. And they're ramping up and they're prepared to start dissecting this, and that's why it's good that the county has it now, but it, we could have it even better with kind of the expertise and the training we could provide Michelle and the county.
Last but not least, and I know it's been a long, probably more than an hour for you, you guys have a 7-1, first of all, any questions about anything? I think the whole point of this is ideas. I think we can save you money. I know we can save you money, and if Eric were to throw out a figure out there, conservatively, it would be
six figures
or more. Easy. I mean, we can show you ways to do that. We've had a limited number of limited amount of information about what you're doing and about your claims and claims data. We have
you haven't had any raw data or anything.
So it's hard to do that. It's hard to plug in prescription numbers without having that information. But you have a 7-1 renewal. You know what you're getting currently. You know where that is. You know that if somebody could be doing something for you, they would be doing it. We're telling you what we do, what we will do, and what we bring to the table. We gave Michelle references of other counties and people to call to deal with us on a daily basis, and I don't know where that is, but please feel free to call anybody, anybody that deals with us. I think time will be short here. And the important thing is you have people in charge here that aren't going to be in charge anymore. And somebody can vote something in, right? If somebody can vote something in May, and then come January, it's like, we're not doing that. But so we talked long and hard with Larry and company about if this looks to be something that's good for the county, something that we can put a consensus around, we would love the chance to be your broker. We would love the chance to show you this and put something in place for your next renewal and show you some savings and show you better service. And if come January, by the time that comes around, and it's not what we say it is, and it's not better, and the people that are running it don't feel like it's better, vote us out. With that, we thank you for your time, which is a lot of time. I'm not sure if everything he said is true or not, but it's pretty close. But thank you very much for your time, and we do appreciate it.
Right now, folks, thank you very much, sir. Please now, any questions? They're here. They're here to help the future council members.
I got a question.
This is Big Mike TV.
I pay $505 a month for Affordable Care Act insurance. House Cut insurance is so expensive for the county. I pay $505 a month, full price, for my gold plan on healthcare.gov.
Who's on your phone? Oh, on the public exchange. You're on the public exchange.
Yeah. That's $505. I'm 100% satisfied with it.
As to with your kids also, right?
No, no kids.
That's just you.
Just you. Yep. And I pay that, and mine's, what'd that be, about $6,000 a year. House come in so much more reasonable than 17, that's $11,000 more.
Well, I don't know what your plan looks like. There could be a lot of intangibles. Like, you could have a $5,000 deductible versus...
Oh, heck, I go to the hospital all the time. I get a heart shock 4 times a year. I mean, it's not too expensive. I think the most I have to pay is about $2,500. Then I go and get medicine. It's about $10 to $30. Go to the doctor, it's $10. To go to the specialist, it's $35.
So you have some copays in there that you pay.
Right. I pay $505 a month.
Out of pocket max for the year is what for you?
I think it's $2,500.
You open a can of worms.
You beat me to it because I was going to answer this question.
Because
we do something that's totally out of the box, that is out of network for everything, that's a conversation that we have, where we don't put you in a network with Cigna, with Anthem, with whoever. We pay how we want to pay. They're on a special plan that is hard to explain, but they have saved in the first, how much this year? They've saved $400,000 in the first 5 months this year on this plan. Or on this plan we have. They saved $400,000. They have 150 employees, and they've saved $400,000. Cass County, 5 years ago, went on the same plan. Okay? The first year on this plan with us, they dropped $1 million to $1.2 million, somewhere in there, depending upon, we'll say $1 million. They dropped $1 million, and in the 5 years after that, they've only gone up 6.5% in totality. In total. In addition to that, they've added a clinic, so they've added a free clinic for their employees. They have also given premium holidays to their employees because they run so well. Their employees, I believe, for one quarter this year, didn't even have to pay their contribution, and their contribution was more than $3 per month. So, yeah. Another, the City of Marion is with us. City of Marion dropped $2.3 million. $2.3 million
in the
first year they were on this plan.
Net. And they put in a clinic, too.
But in a clinic, kind of the same thing.
Mike, to answer your question, in the grand scheme of things, what's wrong with why are costs going up? Why is it so hard? Since healthcare reform has been in place, there's, you know, you've heard thousands of pages of legislation, right? The one thing that it's brought to people in this country is access to care, right? Health insurance. The one thing, now one word of that addresses is cost. And when I mean cost, I'm talking about the relationship Bill mentioned earlier, the relationship between the health insurance company and the hospital. They are both guilty as charged, and there is a lot of money being made between those two entities. More so, believe it or not, on the hospital side than on the health insurance side.
Here's another difference, okay? Is anybody contributing to your, you don't have an HSA, right? Your copay. So you have, is anybody contributing to your HSA? Just you, okay? What if the county were contributing, is it you? Just you? So what if the county were contributing $1,200 for every person that was on this? So if you got $1,200, you know what I mean? So add that by the number of employees, that's a lot of money. That's how we get to that number.
Well, I'm just making a comment. I 100% like your guys' presentation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you guys, you know, you said you was with Cass County for 5 years, so you must be doing something right.
Cass County is...
That's pretty long.
It's the flagship for this...
This program. This model. Yeah, this arrangement.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a whole other that's just one of several... thing like we do that we've discussed today, but that's
Mike, what Bill and Eric suggested earlier, I'm not sure, I think Bill said it. Some counties, it's the commissioners that say, well, we're opening this up for each year we're open up for opportunity for other insurance companies to come in and present. And we would like to think that we're working together with the council in giving you the same information that I receive and the council commissioners. So you're not kept in the dark, hey, we decided to move down this path, and but we want the council to be on board and say,
well, I think it's great you guys let us come to the meeting. I mean, it's your decision.
You're right, Mike.
I mean, I was commissioner 12 years, but it's your decision. Larry beat me, but I don't have nothing against that.
So much more hair I want than him.
What goes around comes around, right?
But anyway, Mike, you know, tonight here we can say on our part, and it's not the council's part, but for the commissioners here, we can make a motion to open up for bids for entertaining the new insurance plan.
Yeah, I can see why you want to after those numbers.
And I don't believe the council has to be in it because you're not in a quorum, but the I want you guys to be aware of what we're looking at here.
Your dates,
July 1st, so you're going to have to do it today.
Correct. So with that said,
that's a motion, Larry.
That is a motion.
Second.
We have a motion. You're in charge.
Yeah, a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You're leading this.
Okay. No vote or no?
No.
Okay. Have two ayes. Motion carried.
All right. So, Sheila, and for whatever you need to do to open this up for entertaining of a new insurance plan. Is that how I'm saying that correctly? And I imagine we would have to set a date of... Mikey says July 1st is the signing new...
Oh, I just got off that paper.
Yeah, I think it's July 1st is a new vendor would need to come on board by.
It's a new enrollment
insurance in July. You're making a motion. You haven't got to make a motion to vote on an insurance plan or insurance broker consultant.
I'll amend my thing.
Hold on. Okay. What was your question?
I asked the commissioner if they made a motion to vote for a change in insurance plan or an insurance broker. Because the plan
I don't think either. I think what their motion was, correct me if I'm wrong, was to invite some competitive bidding on our current plan. Is that right? Which means you've got to have somebody put together some sort of specs that would explain what our plan is, what our benefit package is, so that you're comparing apples to apples when somebody says, well, we can offer you this plan.
That's why I was asking. We can do that on behalf of the company. That's what I wanted to clarify and make sure that's what
the focus. Can the company that's offering it put the bid specs together? It didn't used to be that way. Yeah.
Well, we're not an insurance company, though. We are kind of the intermediary between the employer and the insurance company. So we put the specs together and send it out to the market, like Cigna and Anthem United, and then we compile the bids and present them to the county.
Right. But I guess I want to be clear. Huh?
We don't have anyone that does that now. Send out specs to the other insurance companies that might be interested.
But you guys had to do it last time. We did it two times ago.
We did it all the
last time it was done.
Yeah, okay, because I know you come to us a couple of years ago and we didn't, and I don't think you did it. So.
I'm sorry, that's me.
We do your general liability.
I guess to answer your question, we had a neutral, they weren't going to bid it. They weren't offering to be a broker for health insurance, and they put together some specifications of what our plan offered. And then Bennett's agency was the broker that they selected, right?
Was.
Okay. And that's our current broker that are on this current plan. So these gentlemen are in the same business as Mr. Bennett, and they broker with. There's only about, what, correct me if I'm wrong, about four health insurance companies.
Major ones, yes, that's correct.
So they're all bidding, all these brokers are bidding to the same insurance companies. They have different ideas about how to save with those companies, as they presented. But they're all bidding to four major health insurance. Those are what's left.
Right.
And one of them's looking to buy another one, so you're going to be down to three. So, but they're all, they're looking to be your broker, which is fine.
Right.
And Bennett is your current broker. So I'm just saying, you need to be clear. I just want to be in confusion when you leave here that they're not necessarily, I didn't take their motion to mean we're making a decision on who our broker is right now.
No, I'm not making a decision on who our broker is. Or we may continue on with who we have. Or we may choose to select a new broker.
No, okay.
So are you like entertaining offers? Is that what you call it, more like?
Yes.
Give us your guys' idea, give us your idea, what would it cost?
I think what you're going to have to do is put out, advertise that you're considering changing brokers and offer a presentation by other brokers, as these gentlemen did today, and they can present again if they want, with more specifics, and you're going to have to exchange information with these people about what what our plan currently is and those types of things.
Could I ask a question?
Yes.
I was told a long time ago nothing is free, and I haven't heard anything tonight about where you fit as far as what you charge.
No, it's a great question. We were prepared to talk about
it. I think it's a great question, too.
No, yeah. We work in it. I mean, my first question, I don't know if the county knows what Mr. Bennett's making, what they're being compensated for their services, but we work on commission-based, we work on fee-based. We are fully transparent. So the council, the commissioner, you guys know to the penny, whatever is agreed upon, that is what our compensation is, and it's fully transparent. We don't, you know.
That's a fee-based. I've never heard of that. I thought it was on commission.
No, we have clients. I have a couple of clients that are strictly fee-based. I have some that are, we just wrote the city of Noblesville down south, and they wanted a straight fee.
So it's like, we'll pay you X dollars, you'll find us the best plan you possibly can.
Yeah, correct.
And you make this no matter what. Save us.
Correct.
A rule of thumb, and different people have different motives for doing this, but a rule of thumb is, whatever a broker's general normal compensation is, that's what we do. So we're not any more expensive. And normally I would say we would take this over as it is. I don't know.
I guess it's 15% probably, isn't it?
I don't know what's in it.
I don't either.
But yeah, generally there are general broker fees with Anthem, with Cigna, with United, with Guardian, with Delta, that. And it's fully transparent, fully disclosed. You know exactly what we're making. And our contention is we can save you money and still do that.
Sure.
Why do people take it out? Because of they want it to be ultra transparent.
I think Roger wants you to make money. He just wants to know how much you're making, right?
Yeah. Well, I understand you're going to make money. That's the business that you're in. Yeah. I'm so tired of the word transparent from our federal government that I'll let that one go. But I think it would behoove the commissioners, although we don't have a say-so, that to make sure early on that there's some numbers that you're looking at, dollars and cents-wise, you can say we can match, but you've got a lot of benefits and services that I would assume aren't in our current program that we have. With our current broker, that's going to add something to probably what his charges are, because we're talking probably more money up front from the county in these new services that you are talking about. Another area would be that historically, Mike can probably talk about this better than I can, but it's my understanding that in the past, many of the benefits that county employees that are sitting in this room right now are getting were done because we couldn't afford other areas of benefits each year in the way of salaries. So we increase benefits. We're a little bit like a bank. You don't make a lot of money up front, but you get a heck of a lot of benefits, and you ought to stay here, and that's the reason you need to stay here.
Sure.
And I preach it every year that we miss the boat with our employees, not to set them down and say, here is a full scale of benefits, income and benefits that you're receiving, holidays, the whole nine yards, because our county employees have a tremendous benefit package in salary and non-spendable benefits, if you will.
Sure.
And we don't do enough to promote that to our employees. The county really has a great program for them.
Sure.
So to say that we've got a program and it's really a Cadillac plan, you're right. But it was done intentionally so that we could keep and attract good employees. And I think I'm right in saying that much of these benefits that we currently have were done for the reasons of, let's get people in, let's keep them here, let's show them the benefits of being a county employee in addition to their hourly wage,
sure,
if you will.
And hopefully you saw today ways that we are just ideas we're suggesting that are not counterintuitive to what you were saying about still offering quality benefits and not shifting costs back to the employee, but still saving the county a considerable amount of money. That's all we wanted to come in and show is some of those options that really haven't been presented to the county yet.
For example, and that's where I was going. I'm sorry to interrupt. 1-800-ND. Okay. Is it an added benefit to be able to call when the kid has the sniffles? Highway patrolman, highway worker, rather than taking a day off work, calls in and says, I've got this fourth cold, my daughter's bad, I need that. There's an added benefit at very little cost, maybe no cost. RX Help Center, for the people that are actually on.
That's the telemedicine that you're talking about. That's a $2 to $3 per employee per month times 12 months out of the year, right?
Correct.
So if I'm healthy as a bull and never call the doctor through this, I'm spending $36 a year that I don't need to. I mean, that's the coin you flip when you have any kind of insurance, but
sure.
Thank you.
RX Help Center. For the people that are not on it, they're not affected by it. For the people that are spending ungodly amounts of money on medicine, okay, there may be a small investment up front, and they may, and the county may save ungodly amounts of money on the back end. Maintenance meds are extremely expensive. Especially drugs are awfully expensive, and the people that are on it know that. And if they can find a way to do that for nothing or next to nothing, it's probably worth a little bit of money up front to do that.
Just to go back to your earlier point about the disclosure of compensation, what we do in all these instances and we will do for the county here is put together that our own operations, director of operations puts together is basically a letter of agreement that outlines all the scope of services that we would provide the county, and in turn what those, you mentioned the 15% commission or whatever that arrangement is from a fee or schedule standpoint, will be fully disclosed up front for the commissioners to review. So we could either quantify it in dollars up front, or you could simply just take the percentages times the premiums you might get from Michelle or from Sheila and back into it that way. Either way, it's going to be disclosed at the time when the decision's made by the commissioners.
Well, I'm sure it'll be disclosed. I just haven't heard any numbers yet.
Right.
So nothing is a free
money. Right. And we don't even, know what, for instance, when we showed that illustration of the cost, we don't even know what portion of that is your fixed cost, the Cigna piece. We have, we had, limited information. We can turn around and kind of come out this evening and we kind of present to you, the council, and the commissioners. Any other questions? All right. Second.
Motion and second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Well, we can just adjourn.
Information.
Let me check.
I really order.